Well, good morning again. Do you love to walk with God? Do you love to learn? Do you? I got a few nods. I know some of you maybe didn't nod and you still do. Me too. Even when it hurts, it's good. Even when we realize I did something wrong, it's good. I did last night. Said some things wrong. I'm not sure where all my heart was, and I had to repent of it. That's good. Praise God for His goodness that we get to walk with Him. Let's pray. Can we pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you so, so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for your discipline. Thank you for your conviction. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this glorious place we have in Jesus. We heard about the many prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And I thank you that we get to meet here this morning, Lord, and look at your word. And I pray, Lord, this little burden I have on my heart, will you make it a blessing to some? Lord, I know we have many different maturity levels here. And I pray, Father, for those who may seem a little simple, that you'll bless them and somehow make it deeper to them. And for those who think it seems kind of harsh and hard and it's a hard thing to reach, bless them with encouragement and grace. And thank you for your word, Father. Make this time a blessing for your name's sake. Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to try to share the principle that I'd like to share this morning, and I would like it if it would be exciting to you. Sometimes the tendency for the things I'm going to share today, the tendency is to feel like, you know, you get beat down. I don't want to beat you down. I want to lift up a truth, and maybe I'll mention some things that step on some toes or turn on some light bulbs in your life, but I'd like you somehow, and I'd like to present it in such a way that it is enlightening and exciting to you. Because if you're on this journey with me, and I know many of you are, we're together in this journey. We're on this journey of following our Lord. And we want to be godly. We want to be godlike. The word Christ-like came out yesterday, I believe, in the discussions. Same thing. Godly. Godlike. Christ-like. So we're on this journey, and we're looking to be godlike, and we're looking to be Christ-like. And so what I want us to see is if God comes and He says, Mickey, there's something wrong there. I think as we learn to walk closely with God and our hearts are pricked and God speaks, we tend to say, yes, thank you, Lord. When sin is revealed and it hurts and we're humiliated, I think in true godliness we'll say, thank you, God. Thank you. Why? Because it is a gateway to more freedom. It's a gateway to more godliness. It's a pathway God has opened up, a next step to climb up the mountain whenever we realize, oh, I'm making a mistake. Or I have a weakness here. Or there's sin. What it is God saying, son, look, there's another step for you to take. And we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so if I make some of you think, I really am not, and I realize some of you, as I mentioned in my prayer, some of you this may be old hat, some of you it may be new hat. But be excited if God shows you something and you realize, oh, that hurts. My life's going to have to change to meet up to that. Be excited. That's what I'd like to do this morning. So please try to take that kind of a heart. I believe that's what the godly heart will do. Longing for godliness. That's what it will do, is love being stepped on. I'd like to share your title with this. Here's your title. You have your booklets? Here's your title. Carnal-mindedness kills. Carnal-mindedness kills. And here's the principle. The principle of fleeing carnality. The principle of fleeing carnality. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, you have it on the front of your little booklet. And it's the whole verse isn't here. But if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, well, let's just turn there so that we have a little more context right before us. This is a little bit of prelude, you might say, to help you see the principle that I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 3, I have this circled in my Bible. In verse 3, I'm just jumping in the middle of verse 3, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. We're looking at thinking about godliness. Down in verse 5, some people, destitute of the truth, suppose that gain is godliness. Is gain godliness? Is material gain godliness? No. They're those who think that are destitute of the truth, but in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 11, now our verse. So we're, and then he goes on and he talks about the rich will fall into temptation. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight! There's two little words I'd like us to look at there. And what do you think they are? Anybody have any ideas? Brother Abner.
Flee, follow.
Thank you. Flee and follow. Flee and follow. Yesterday, which one did we talk about? Say it a little louder. Follow. Thank you. What was the word I used? Pursue. Right? I used the word pursue. Follow is what should have been in that same list. Remember that big long list we made? Just the sentence after, we have what word that would fit in this list? Fight. Thank you. Just after this, in verse 12, we have the word fight. Yesterday in Hebrews 12, what word did we have that would fit under pursue category here? Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, I think we looked at. I'm sorry. Run. Thank you. And along with that principle, run, what was the word that might come under this category? Yes. Lay aside. Good. Leaving weights. I think it says lay aside. Lay aside. When I write that small, can you see? Can you read it? You can read it back then? Okay. So this pursue principle, Hebrews 12, we saw run, and there was this little word that I just mentioned yesterday a little bit. Lay aside. When we talked about war, where was this? 1 Timothy, I believe. We talked about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I guess maybe I should write soldier rather than war there. But do you remember what that soldier is not supposed to do?
Entangle.
Thank you. Entangle. A soldier is not supposed to entangle. When we're talking about the old man and the new man, what are we supposed to do in Romans with the old man and the new man? Thank you. Pursue is going to be which? Put on. Flee is going to be? Put off. Do you see this principle? We could keep going, and I don't want to spend too much time. I just want you to see this principle. What I tried to do yesterday is I looked at this. We looked at this principle yesterday. Pursue. Follow after. Run. War. Put on. We didn't actually look at this verse, but there are many of them that bring out this principle, the principle of pursuing. What did I call it? Violent pursuit. Right? Violent pursuit. Today, I'm going to look at this one. Flee. Flee. Lay aside. Entangle. Put off. I think we'll find here in 1 Timothy, where was that? 1 Timothy 6:11. Thou, O man of God, if we have in our life, we're pursuing. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to write flee yet. In our life, we're pursuing. And we have that ingredient in our life. Then we add, we're doing a little mathematical equation here, all right? Then we add fleeing. What do you think you come up with according to 1 Corinthians 6:11? What did we come up with? Thank you. And you, again, if you would have answered something else, it may have been right also. That was the word I'm looking for, but you could have used another word, but that's the word that we're using. So if in your life there's pursuing, and there's also fleeing, the result is godliness. I'd like to do something here just real quickly. I'm not going to move over there. I'm going to need that part of the board for later. I think. Yeah, I am. So I'm going to actually come down here. Are you all going to be able to see if I do that? Let's have pursue. And we have pursue in our life, but we're going to leave off the fleeing. So instead of a plus, I'm going to put a minus here. Now we're doing another mathematical equation. And in this mathematical equation, we want to try to put yesterday into practice. And we want to pursue. And we're going to consume our lives. We're going to take those 19 things and add 19 more. And we're going to put them into our life. We're going to run. We're going to seek to walk with God. We're going to seek for holiness. But, you know, this fleeing thing, we're going to leave that out. We're going to put a subtraction there. I'm going to submit to you, and this is just for you to meditate on. I need to keep going here. I'm not trying to build a big thing around this. I just want you to think on this. If we have a pursuing, and we're not willing to flee, it seems like many times it ends up in worldliness. A pursuing without a fleeing seems like frequently ends up and worldliness. All right, let's flip that around, though. Let's take a flee, and then let's put pursue here, and let's take this off. We know some people, probably you know some people, and they are just consumed with fleeing carnality, and they're consumed with fleeing the world, and they're trying to get away from the world and all the evils of the world, and so they have a lot of fleeing in their life. But you're not sure what they're pursuing other than that they're fleeing. What I'm saying? What do you think that ends up in? Give me some thoughts before I write my word down. What do you think it ends up in? Pride? Okay. I'm sorry? Legalism? Well, that's a thought. Someone else? I'm just going to leave that one. I'll let Brother Allen talk to you about that one. Another one? Self-righteousness? I like that. This is the word I'm going to put here. And many of those, actually, honestly, all of what you said could line up with what I'm saying. You're not necessarily wrong. This is the word I decided on. Hypocrisy. We flee what we think is worldly, and we try to cloak our lives with, you know, away from the world, hiding ourselves away from the world. But if there's not any heart that is pursuing God, pursuing godliness, holiness, purity in the inner man, and we're not pursuing those things, and we're just fleeing a lot of this outward worldliness, sometimes it ends up in hypocrisy. Okay, so I want to be careful. Sorry, these all ran together here. I don't want to say, I should do this number. I'm really not trying to make a big statement. I just want you to think. What I'm trying to present, and if you disagree on something here and here, come talk. I'd be glad to hear. I'm not making a big point here. But what I'm trying to make a big point is this one. You see this? That's what I'm trying to make a point of. So yesterday we looked at pursue. Today I'd like to look at the principle of fleeing. I'd like to try to accomplish at least three things. First off, I'm going to try to convince you that carnal-mindedness kills. We're going to look at the Word. And I want you to be convinced that carnal-mindedness kills. Then we need to give, number two, some definition to carnal-mindedness. What does it mean? How does that apply to daily life? And then number three, I'm going to plead with you to flee. I plead with you to add to your pursuing, fleeing. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 for a first scripture here to meditate on. And if any of you have meditated on this principle, thought about this, prayed about this, you'll probably have ended up in Romans some. And very likely Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 3. Going to jump in here at verse 3. For what the law could not do. Can you remember Monday? Remember Monday? What the law could not do. In that it was weak. Through the flesh. What was at the bottom of thou shalt and thou shalt not? The law. What was at the bottom did we have? The Hebrews told us. Fault. Problem. So what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God. Who? Me? No. Who? God. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Number four. That the righteousness of the law. So did the law lower? Did the standard go down? No. Standard didn't go down. I hope you're remembering Monday. My illustration's up here. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That it might be fulfilled. But in who? Those who walk not after the, but after the Spirit. Remember the Spirit? He wants to give us His Spirit. He's there. I will, and He wants to fill us with the Spirit. But He says, this is for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's keep going. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, the physical, the natural, do mind the things. They do what? They mind them. They think about them. They're affected by them. They're influenced by them. They set their affections on them. That's what this mind is. Your affections, setting your affections on them. You regard them. You know, if you regard something, you're counting it worthy of thinking about, worthy of affecting your thoughts and life. And they that are after the flesh do mindedness. Remember carnal mindedness? Do mind the things of the flesh. But praise God. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Let's keep going. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is not real positive. Is that what it says? To be carnally minded is? So is my title right? Carnal mindedness does what? Kills. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is? Life and peace. So, remember what I said at the beginning. If as we're going through this, you all of a sudden realize, ooh, there's a little carnal mindedness in me. How should you feel? All discouraged, beat down. No. I get to get rid of it. I get to flee it. And then I get life and peace through the Spirit of God. So again, grasp this principle that carnal mindedness kills. Exciting, because spiritual mindedness brings life. Where are we here? I said through verse 8 and we are verse 6. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Ooh, that's strong. The carnal mind is an enemy and is anti-God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The choices in our lives are divided two ways. You draw a line down the middle and the divided two ways. And they are bringing life and peace, or they're bringing death. Right? So what we find here, we have the carnal mind and we have the spiritual mind. And we can put things on one side or the other. So as we go through life, the choices we make, the decisions we make, the thoughts we think, the places we go, and on I can make the list. They're feeding the one side, or they're feeding the other side. And again, that's exciting. Because if it dawns on me that, oh, I've been feeding this side and it's been killing me and been very, very hard on me, glory, I get to get rid of it, toss it out and start feeding the spiritual side. And you know, sometimes, usually, the very same issue can either be put on the carnal side or the spiritual side. The very same issue. God wants us to work. Right? Whether it's us, men, or the ladies. He wants us to work. But our work will either feed this, the carnal side, or the spiritual side. Right? Because he that's lazy and doesn't work, neither should he eat. You don't just go around begging. That's not what God wants. And so again, we're looking at the carnal side or the spiritual side with the same issue. We can go down through all of our choices in life, and we'll go through some of them. And the choices we make feed one side or the other side. Sometimes the very same issue. Listen to this. Two choices. Maybe some of you have heard something like this. Two choices war within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one God loves, the other hates. The one I feed will dominate. You get that? I'm going to say that little thing again. It's just a good little thing to even memorize. Two choices war within my breast. The one is foul and the other blessed. The one God loves. And the one he hates. And the one I feed will dominate. Young people, we want to feed the right one. And we want to get rid of the wrong one. Amen? We want to pursue the one and we want to flee the other. Go to 1 Peter 2:11. That was Romans 8. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved. Here's the Apostle Peter. And he starts verse 11 with, dearly beloved, I beseech you. I'm coming with a plea, the Apostle Peter is saying. I have a longing on my heart, and I am pleading with you. I'm begging you, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. Do what? Abstain. Which side do you think that goes on here? It goes on the flea side. That's what we're talking about today. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lust, you know, that can sound really terrible. And it is terrible. But do you know what it is? It's earthly desires. Desires that are rooted in earthliness. Go look it up. Fleshly has to do with fleshly, earthly, carnal. And lust has to do with desires that are right. So, what does he say? Abstain from them. Abstain from fleshly desires, carnal, earthly desires that aren't right. Abstain from them. Why? What's it say? Sorry, 2:11, back to 2:11, sorry. Because they do what against the soul? War. And you know how war is? War is nasty. War is awful. You know, we don't even like to picture it. But God pictures it here. So just picture a knife. And you're going through life and you've got this dagger in your hand. and you're going through life and you allow a fleshly lust, an earthly desire to be in your life. Just picture this knife. Oh! And you go through life. And of course you eat and you probably doctor the wound and, you know, and you, but you go through life and you allow another one. Fleshly lusts war against your soul. They're out to kill you. How about this one? Picture this one. Just picture a little baby lamb. Little baby lamb. Don't know that I have to... I have a bottle in one hand and a nut driver in the other. And we have a little baby lamb here. Sorry, at the club. We have a little baby lamb here, and here it is, just small. And sheep are known for their... what's the word? Sheep are very needy. They need a lot of care. They need a lot of tending. They need a lot of help. And so here's this little tiny bleeding sheep. You know, just itty bitty. And I'm responsible to take care of it. And so here I've got a bottle of milk in one hand. I've got a club in the other hand. And so as this sheep is, this little lamb is here. This little lamb is me. This little lamb is my spiritual life. And maybe some of us are bigger lambs. And maybe there's some here that are sheep. And they're not just lambs, but a lot of us here are lambs. And we're going through our life. And as we make choices, we are either taking this bottle and feeding that lamb that is godliness, that is spiritualness. Or we're taking the club and this little tiny soft, sweet lamb, we're just giving it a good old thump over the head. Whoa! It's an awful picture, I know. It's awful. But just think about it as you go through life and you make a decision that's godly. And you make a decision that's right. And it feeds what is spiritual. And it's rooted in your spiritual life. You're saying, here, little lamb, and you're giving milk. And he's taking it. And he's sucking. And he's growing. What happens if you turn around and you make a little carnal decision in your life? And you feed your fleshly, earthly desires. You just fed the lamb. And then you take the club and you go, whack! Ooh! And then you get up and you try to have your devotions and you open your Bible and you're trying to feed this lamb. Feeding it, feeding it, feeding it. Then you go to work and the atmosphere just isn't too good. I don't know your work situations. I'm just throwing out instances to you. We'll go through a lot of different ones. You go to work and you're around some influences that aren't good. And you hear some things that aren't good. And we talked about idle words and maybe there's things that are said and you feel like I should say something and but you don't want to say something and the fear of man's there. And then maybe you actually laugh a little at something you shouldn't laugh. I don't know what. You know what you just did? You took that little tiny lamb that you just tried to feed this morning and you went whack! With your club. And so then you go on through the day and as you're going through the day, again, maybe you pause before you eat your lunch and you pray and you're like, oh Lord, I haven't thought about you or the things of you all day. And so you pray a little bit before you eat your lunch and you try to feed a little spiritual life to this little growing lamb. And maybe you do a little meditation, but then something happens and there's a book laying beside you. And it's just a book that it's not just filthy and sinful, but you pick it up and then you just consume your mind with something that's just plain downright earthly for the last 15 minutes. I'm afraid, young people, I'm afraid what we're doing is we're taking this little club to this lamb that we're trying to feed. Whack! What's this lamb supposed to do? It's trying to grow. It's trying to suck this milk. You are feeding it, it's true. But you're hitting it. And you're beating it. And it's hard for this lamb to grow. Abstain from fleshly lusts, longings, and desires that aren't right. They war against us. They're our enemies if we're truly in pursuit of Him. 1 Corinthians 3. Chapter 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, adult, mature sheep. I couldn't do that, the Apostle Paul says. I couldn't do that. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I want you to look at that. Do you know what he just did? The Apostle Paul equated carnality with babes. Did you see that? That's what he just did. I had to speak unto you as unto carnal, I had to speak unto you as carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because you're still babes. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you, and he goes on, envying, strife, divisions, are ye yet carnal? And walk as men. Step back here. Verse 1. Carnal and babe equals. Okay? That's what he just said. So, I remember when it started dawning on me that I was a babe. And I realized I was a little carnal. Praise God, He had saved my soul. He had changed me. But I realized I liked to play basketball. And I was kind of good at it back then. Not now, probably. But when I was, whatever I was, 14, I was kind of good at it. And I liked to play basketball. It started dawning on me, Mickey. That's babyish. And if it's childish, I'm sorry, if it's babyish, if it's childish, what is it? Carnal. And I don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay there. Was it evil? Absolutely evil? No. Taking a piece of rubber that's shaped round and putting it through a hole that's a piece of steel that's round is not evil. It's not sinful. But it was carnal. And God said, Mickey, you're doing that and you're using time and you're using energy and you're using thought all by yourself to go out there and practice so you can see how good you can be. Now, if I go, a couple days ago, I was playing ball with Brother Allen's boys, a little tiny ball now, wasn't as big as a basketball, in his house, and we were playing ball. Both times I would be playing ball. When I was 14 and I played basketball, I was playing with the ball. And 2 days ago I was playing ball. But you know there's a difference. That first time, back there, I was playing ball because I liked to. And I was good at it. And I wanted to see how good I could get at it. And it consumed a lot of my energies and a lot of my time. And who was it all for? Me. That's right. It was for me. And God said it was carnal. That's babyish. Young people, do you want to stay a baby? Do you want to stay a babe? Maybe there's a few things you're going to need to flee. Yeah, you have your quiet time. You're going to pursue. But there's a few things also that you're going to need to realize. They don't bless this lamb. If you want this lamb to grow and you want it to mature and you want it to become a sheep, there's going to be some things you're going to need to lay aside. And for me, one of them was basketball. And I said, okay, Lord. Does that mean I can't play with a ball? No. But you know what? When I play with a ball, I'm doing it for a whole different purpose. Do you think I play monkey in the middle with Brother Allen's boys because it's just barrels of fun to me? Now, I can enjoy it, but is that why I'm doing it? No. So the whole motive is different. I remember getting dressed, putting on my shoes, looking down and trying to decide which looked better. Whether my trousers on top of the tongue, and this is years ago, maybe this is a dumb thing now, I'm not sure. So if you laugh at it, that's fine. But it still happens today, different things. Trying to decide if my trousers behind my tongue or on front of my tongue look better. And back then I liked it with my trousers behind my tongue, the tongue of my tennis shoes. These don't have much of a tongue to hold that way. But you know, you try to stick the tongue up a little bit, and maybe that's out of style now, I'm not sure. But for me, in the circles I was in, that looked nice, I thought. And so then when I would walk, I wanted to make sure that the tongue, I shouldn't smile. Sorry, I was trying not to. I would try to make sure the tongue didn't, my trousers didn't pop over the tongue. Because I thought it looked better whenever the shirt. What was I doing? What was that? Was that feeding my spiritual man? Oh, people. It was flesh. It was carnal. And I was beating on that little sheep. I said, I'm going to stop. I'm going to put my club down. And I had to make some choices what kind of shoes I bought. Actually, I didn't. My parents did. But I had to make choices of which ones I liked and how much I thought about them and how careful I was with my trousers. And after a while, it was no. I have these trousers and I have these. And you know, I like these better, so I'm going to wear the other ones. Was it lawish? No, it was because my heart was hungry. And I knew that these thoughts and these things inside of me were wrong. And they were beating my poor little spiritual sheep over the head. And I didn't want it and I wanted to feed it. And I said, all right, Lord, help, help. My heart's not always in it. Remember my little circle here. So I'm going to have to take some action. And I took some action and I said, all right, I'm going to wear these. And they don't look as nice on me, in my opinion. Who knows if it did or didn't. But that didn't even matter. What mattered was I thought these looked nicer, so I chose the others. And so here I go with my dirty looking shoes and my dirty looking trousers. And you know what? It blesses my soul. I'm sticking that bottle into my little sheep and I'm feeding it. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you see how this is an exciting thing? If clothes are something, we're just mentioning clothes here, a little bit of an attraction to you. Don't look at it as, oh, preacher's talking about clothes again. Don't look at it as, it's something else I can get rid of. It's something else I can conquer in my life so that I quit beating my spiritual life and I start feeding my spiritual life. You see how it can be exciting, not discouraging? Carnality kills, but getting rid of it feeds life and we can pursue Him. We lived on a farm. I had a four-wheeler. And I like to drive the four-wheeler. We had lived right beside some mountains and I like to go up in the mountains. And you know, I liked to pray as I was up in the mountains. I did. But I started realizing, Mickey, which is more important? Hopping on my four-wheeler, driving around, having innocent fun, when I could be in this. You know, we're busy these days. We don't have time, right? Well, why am I out there doing that? When I stand in eternity, and I stand in all the glory in the presence of my Father. And if He gives us a glimpse, I don't know how it'll be, but if He gives us a glimpse back over our lives, what am I going to think about sitting on a little four-wheeler, driving it around? I don't think it's feeding myself. No, it was not feeding my spiritual man. It wasn't. And I started realizing, oh, I lost my club. I started realizing, I don't like this. I want to grow. And so I said, all right. No more just driving the four-wheeler around for fun of it. If I'm going to do some work on the little farm we had, if I'm going to whatever, sure. But I'm tired of beating my lamb. I want to feed it. Another thing was wasted reading materials. I had very little evil, but some was just wasted. And I used time, and I used thought time, and I used energy, and I used relaxing time, so to speak, on something that's just plain to fulfill my earthly desires. Done with it. See what I'm saying? We need to learn how to flee. Flee carnality. Flee what is only feeding my flesh and me if we're going to truly be consumed, as we talked about yesterday, with pursuing godliness. James 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Whew, that's strong. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? A close connection and a fondness for what the world likes, and a thing for liking the way the world does it, and the way the world looks at things, and the way the world dresses, and the way the world plays, and the way the world, you know, just tries to have a good time and tries to whatever. A love for those kind of things, a fondness there, is enmity against God. And we're beating the spiritual life out of ourselves. Back to James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think that the Spirit that is in us, that dwelleth in us, has this longing? Remember, lusting has a longing and a desire, and there's envy in there. Inside of man, there's envy. Listen to this definition of envy: to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent. Okay, it's this bad feeling. Uneasiness, mortification, discontent at the sight of superior excellence. Someone who's doing better than me. Superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. So when I see myself and I don't have quite as much as he has, and he has more than me, and the tendency of the human fleshly heart is to envy. He's smarter than me. He's faster than me. He makes more money than me. She's more beautiful than me. She has a nicer personality than me. She looks nicer than me. The tendency is to envy. To repine at another's prosperity. To fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another. Whether it's true or whether it's not. If you suppose there is some superiority in any way, shape, or form, and you pine after it. Let's go on. Verse 4 there, I think, is where we were. 5, sorry. Verse 6. But praise God, that spirit in me, that fleshly desire that may be in us, lusteth to envy. But, hallelujah, thank God for buts. But I come up with more grace. Is that what it says? He. We're back to Monday. He, hallelujah, he giveth more grace. Grace is available. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit. Submit to him. And do what over here? Resist. Submit and resist. There's the positive and there's the negative. Submit to him and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. I love this verse. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to him. Can we draw nigh to him like this? Whack, whack, whack. Do you think we'll draw nigh with the club, making decisions that are carnally centered and whacking our poor little sheep of our spiritual life? Do you think that's drawing nigh to God? It won't work. And I understand. I know how it is. And that's why Paul says we're babes. We'll find ourselves feeding some and whacking some, and feeding some and whacking some, and it's hard for the poor little sheep to grow. Why? Because we're whacking. Draw nigh to God. Get rid of this club that is killing, that is hindering, that is hurting, and draw nigh to him. And he will draw nigh to you. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, when God draws nigh to you, it's beautiful. And I know, I trust most of you know how beautiful that is. When God draws nigh to little Mickey Brubaker, it's beautiful. And when He draws nigh to you and you and you, it's life changing. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse them. If there's sin, cleanse it. And purify your hearts. You know, get rid of what's not pure. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You think this is double-minded?
Yes.
Club and waddle. One hand a club, one hand a bottle. You think that's double-minded? I'm afraid so. It's double-minded. It's carnal-minded and it's spiritual-minded. Cleanse your hands, ye double-minded. I'm sorry, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And He goes on, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Young people, it's okay. If it dawns on you that you've been using a club too much on your little lamb, and you realize there have been some things in your life, you've been feeding the carnality, it's okay. Go weep and howl. Do it. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to heaviness, and humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And you know what the last part says? He'll grow you up. He'll lift you up. He'll make that little lamb. He'll give him the vitamins and whatever all that little lamb needs. And it'll grow. Carnal-mindedness kills. It kills. Spiritual-mindedness gives life and peace. See these two principles. We've been talking about flee here. I'm going to go on to Galatians 6 first before I make those comments. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse 7. One more scripture. Well, there's more coming, but look at this in this part of what I'm trying to share here. This might be coming at it from just a little bit different angle, but it's the same principle. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We were looking at a little sheep and a club and a bottle. Now let's change the picture a little bit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth and soweth and soweth, that's what he'll reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life. Everlasting. What do you want? That's simple. What do you want? Okay. We all say we want life everlasting. We're all going to raise our hands. What seeds are you sowing? As you're casting your life, what seeds are you casting out there? What seeds are you throwing out over your life? They'll grow. That's just the way it is. We all know I can't go walking out there with a whole bunch of thistle seeds and scatter them over my garden and scatter thistle seeds and then go get on my knees and say, God, please give me apples next year. I need apples, Lord. Some of you think that's funny, and it is funny, but it's not funny. We do it. And then we wonder why God's not answering our prayer. And we wonder why we've got so many thorns. And we wonder why do I have problems with my parents? Or what I have problems with my leaders? Or what's the deal with all these thorns? Look at your seeds. What are you sowing? What are you putting in your life? What are you spreading across your life? Okay, that's the negative. But oh dear brothers and sisters, you take those beautiful seeds and those seeds that you know are right and those seeds that you know are good, and you start throwing them over your garden and you start throwing them over your field with excitement and joy, knowing someday I'm going to get apples. Not apples, fruit, whatever. But you know, someday I'm going to get fruit. For if you live... I'm jumping away here. Let's keep going. I'm supposed to read to verse 10 I have written here. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You'll reap decaying. You'll reap ruining. Deadening. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. Verse 9. And don't be weary, young people. God knew sometimes it's going to be hard. Somehow,
thistles end up in your hand, thistle seeds. And you have to decide, God, what am I going to do with that thistle seed? Am I going to get rid of it? Or am I going to just throw it out there anyway? Don't get tired. Don't get tired. When the old flesh tries to pop its head up again, and you realize you're thinking about your shoes and your trousers again, or whatever it is. Squish it down. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Make choices to change. Why? Because you don't want that little tiny seed scattered in your garden. You don't want it there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap. You'll reap, I promise you. If you don't believe me, ask your parents. If you don't believe them, believe me, ask your leaders. You'll reap someday. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we could go on as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men here. Want to go back over here to the pursue good? Do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. Do good. Do good. Here's a little illustration. No, I'm going to skip that illustration. Ooh. I'm going to skip that. I want to give you a little picture here. And illustrations break down, so have mercy on me. But if you do feel there's some error, please come talk to me. But this here is just really... I do this right. Moral and godly. I'm putting, drawing a line here over on the left. Over on the right, I'm going to put, immoral or carnal. Ungodly. We could have put ungodly in there. And here in the middle, I'm putting... Oops, did that wrong again. Sorry. Amoral. Neutral. We go through life, and we tend to see a lot of our decisions in life as... They fit right in here in this big category. Amoral. That means neutral. Not necessarily immoral or moral. And we go through life and we feel like, okay, a lot of things are, you know, we have to eat and we have to live and we have to make money and we have to wear clothes and we have to live in houses and we have to drive vehicles. And so, you know, those are just things and we stick them here in all moral. The vehicle I drive and the clothes I wear and the music I listen to and the things I do, you know, it's not necessarily sinful and ungodly. And so I just stick it in this all moral neutral place. And then, you know, we definitely put our quiet time and our Wednesday night time and our whatever over here. I wrote above that, I wrote the carnal Christian. Do you see how big that amoral, neutral area of our life is? I'd like to give you another view. And it's the same. Over here, there's the immoral and the carnal, the ungodly. And over here, we have the moral and the godly. And then in the middle, we have all moral and neutral. This right here is a whole different view on the Christian life. This is what, this I think is a little picture of what a carnal Christian, the way he looks at life. And this right here, what should I title this? I guess we'll just do it general. The spiritual man. The spiritual Christian. Do you see the difference? What I'm trying to say is this. If you feel like you're classing a whole bunch of things in this middle, what is so-called amoral, I'm afraid you might be surprised how much carnality is there. You might be surprised how how much is actually in this side, the immoral. And this is the way God looks at it. Brother Alan came to me last night and he asked me if I wanted tea or if I wanted coffee or water. I forget what all the options were. Please excuse me if it wasn't perfect like this. But the principle being, he comes and he asks me, do you want tea or coffee or water? Now, which category do you think that goes in? Okay, we're trying to be spiritual now, all right? We're trying to be the spiritual man. So which category does that go in? Don't be afraid, come on. Amoral. I agree. I can say, Brother Alan, I'd like some tea. I can say, no thanks, I don't need anything. Thank you very much for your hospitality. I'd like some water. You know, it's not necessarily right or wrong. Now, if you feel you should be staying away from caffeine, maybe coffee's in there, that's up to other of you. Some of you might find coffee in one of these other slots. So maybe I should have left it to tea and water just to be safe here. But do you see what I'm saying? You see the principle. There was a time in my life when I thought, it's very possible. I was meditating and praying and I started studying on the doctrine of non-amorality. Okay? So that there is not amoral in a true, earnest, Apostle Paul-style Christian life, Jesus-style. It's not all moral. Everything we do and the choices we make are either a blessing or they're a curse on us. And I've come to the realization that I guess I just don't think it's quite right. I can take tea or I can take water and it just doesn't really matter. Now, I guess it's possible that I could have a heart of spite against Brother Allen and choose one or the other and okay, then it ends up in one of the other categories. But, okay, you see what I'm saying. But, my dear young people, I think you need to realize the spiritually earnest Christian will not see a huge part of his life as amoral neutral. He'll realize every decision he's making is affecting his life. I need to move on. I have a bunch of other scriptures here I would love to do, but I want to give you another illustration. Do you see this? The hose clamp. And you see this little nut driver? I'm going to put this on here. And I want to just do a little illustration that I hope you remember. As we're going through life, and we're making decisions in life, we have to make choices. And if we're viewing the Christian life like this, the carnal Christian, or we're viewing the Christian life as I drew here, the spiritual man, the spiritual Christian. Either way, there's something happening as we make choices in life. And you and I, we come up and it's time for another volleyball game. And if you get involved in that volleyball game and you play a lot of volleyball and you just really love it and you're just all excited about this and you get into it and you know, you just got to be involved in this volleyball game and it just excites you and it motivates you. What do you really think is happening? Here's what I suggest to you is happening. I just tightened the clamp a couple notches. Why? Because carnal mindedness kills. Don't think it's just here. Amoral. And you go on in life. And we know how it is. I'm going to speak, especially young men and young ladies. You allow thoughts in your mind of the opposite gender and there's feelings or whatever. And it's not God-blessed, it's not authority-blessed, and your heart's not... How long do you think this spiritual life, my physical body is an example of spiritual life, how long do you think I can live? And I keep going through life, and I'm going to go back to that thing, you know, whether it's shoes, or whether it's dresses, or whether it's head coverings, and it's standing in front of a mirror... And you got to make sure it's just right. And you spend time and you look and see how it is. And we should be neat and proper. I'm not advocating sloppiness, but too much focus on that. And you're wondering a little how you think and all these things. And what are you doing? Just tighten it down. Tightening it down. And then you get on your knees to pray. And you're praying. And okay, praise God. God's merciful. But, you know, you go and you're with people and or you go to a fabric store and you just wish you didn't have to have your head covering so far forward, and you got to put the swoops in the hair, and you know, all these things. What's happening? This keeps getting tighter and tighter. And you think, well, they're just little things. Yeah, they're little. And you know what? Little things matter. Little things matter. And you pick up some books. Oh, I trust there's not many awful books, romance novels, stuff like that. I mean, that's 10 twists on this thing. I can't live that long. But just neutral stuff, you know, and you whittle away your time at neutral stuff. And it just gets a little tighter. And you can't figure out, what's going on? And why am I not growing? And what's the deal with relationships? And you're wondering. And young men, you find yourself all alone. And you're in a room by yourself. And your mind goes where it shouldn't. And things happen. And you realize, I did it again. Tighten her down. And we have to buy a vehicle. And we have to make decisions on vehicles. And what kind of decisions are we going to make? Remember the club, the bottle. Make your decision wisely. If you don't, and you kind of think, well, that one's a little neater and looks a little nicer. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure what the thing is. So maybe the comments I'm going to make are a few years old, but the back end's a little bit higher and it has a little spoiler on the back. Or I don't know what they are. It has a nice CD player, has a nice whatever. Just be careful. You think about those things. You spend too much time on those things. You know what you're doing? And there's so many things flooding us in the world. There are gadgets, and there are smartphones, and there are computers, and there are computer games, and there is the internet, and you spend very much time with those things, and it's not godly. And it's not purposefully in this godly area. I called my wife and I've even texted my wife since I've been here. And I think it's godly. But do you know what? That very same device can be used to be very ungodly. Be careful! You just do this to yourself. Young men, especially, be careful with your money, your jobs. Be careful. Watch what you do with it. Watch what you spend it on. Keep track of every penny of it. I'd encourage you. Keep track of every penny of it. Total it up and see how much you spent on the pop you thought you needed. And this and the snacks you thought you needed. And this. Just watch it, would you? And instead, the next month, you spent whatever. Let's say you spent $50 one month. The next month, don't buy a single thing. Take that $50 and go give it to someone to buy Bibles for China. I don't know. You know what you'll do? You'll take this thing and you'll move it the other way. Are chips wrong? Is pop wrong? I'm not trying to preach that all those things are wrong. I'm saying a heart that's longing for godliness and a heart that is willing to say, God, anything, I'll flee and I'll pursue with all that I have. You can loosen or you can tighten. Carnal mindedness kills. It can be music. And I'm dare even going to say, young people, if it's the music that the world is putting together, even if they call themselves Christian, and the world is putting together, you don't want that influence. All you're doing is this. So please, I'm just going to put that quick little plea in here. Get rid of it. But I'm even going to step out a little bit further and just say, if you have to have music that's not even wrong, and you know, it's beautiful thing, but you just got to pump it into yourself all the time, just be a little careful. Make sure you know how to use your mind. Sorry, is it affecting my voice here? It feels a little like it. It'll affect you. Make sure you use that music, and it can be good and godly, but just constantly pumping it into yourself. Just constantly have to have it going, and just to keep helps your feelings, and I'm afraid it can be a crutch. So just a thought for you there. I'm talking about good stuff. I have a hard time finding in the Bible just listening to music. It's a little different than singing to one another in psalms and hymns. And
Okay, I threw that out. But especially the stuff, the movies, the stuff that the world's putting together. I don't care if they put the Christian on it. Do you want that kind of life? Then don't be influenced by it. All you're doing is this. Let's be careful, and I mentioned this earlier, but let's be careful with our clothes. You go look at these words, adornment, extras, things that are on there that don't need to be on there, that are there for looks. Let's be careful with that. Us young men and the young ladies, let's be careful with that. You don't want extras. Oh, it's just a little thing. Yeah, it's a little thing, and you know what? Little things matter. How many times do I have to turn this? Each time, it gets a little tighter. And each time, it's cutting off. And I realize it's not real tight on me, right? I mean, it's starting to feel like it, but it's not deathly, you know, afraid for my health tight. But it will be if you keep going. Carnality, carnal-mindedness, kills. Be careful with peer pressure. Peer pressure can be a good thing. You find a peer, you find someone godly, and you allow them to influence you. But be very careful when it comes from those who have a lot of this and this concept of life and carnal-mindedness. Be careful with pride. I want to be something. I know those things. I deal with them, young people. I have to make sure that I come up here and I preach for Christ and for you. And not for Mickey. I have to pray about that. Did you know that? Probably you did. But I have to be careful about that. You have to too. In your place, in your position, whether it's pride over your position at work, it's pride over doing an excellent job with the children for some mother so that she thinks you're great, whether it's pride over the way you look and you hope you just look really nice and attractive. We've got to kill that thing. That'll kill us. It'll just tighten it down. Okay, I could keep going. I have a longer list of things. Would you be honest? Maybe you could even, one of you as a prayer groups, one of you groups, I think are even going to talk about some of these things. Would you be honest with yourself and honest with each other, honest with your leaders, honest with your parents, and be willing to say, help me, Mom. Help me, Dad. Help me, brother. So-and-so, help me, sister. Help me, elder. Help me. Where am I beating my little sheep? Where am I tightening my pipe clamp? Help me. I want life flowing. I want growth. I want maturity. So then with joy, you grab every little bit of carnality, carnal-mindedness you can, and you get rid of it. Ditch it out of your life. Spiritual assessment. Remember we had that the other day? Spiritual assessment. Some of you gave some excellent, I don't know who they all came from, some excellent things. Ask yourself, what do you really like? And what do you think about? And what do you talk about? And what do you like to learn? And what, you know what I'm saying? And then assess those things. Where am I at? What we want, young people. So we want to go this way. Amen? We want to turn it this way. So we're going to make choices in life and turn it this way. And we're going to make other choices in life and turn it this way. And we're going to seek God and we're going to seek our authorities and our leaders so that we can turn it this way. And we're going to keep making decisions and right decisions. And we're going to get rid of things that might be carnal. And we're going to get rid of thoughts that are wrong. And I realize we have to add the pursue. Today I'm talking about flee, okay? So we're going to get rid of all these things. And we're going to flee. Run from. Get rid of, empty out of our life, so that we're free. We can grow, and life, and health, and spirituality, and godliness flows out of our life. Picture our Lord Jesus, sent into this world. John 17:14-18. Our precious Lord Jesus, sent into this world. And how do you think he lived? How do you think he lived? In the world, but not of the world. He lived amongst the world. And he didn't want any of this. And then you know what he said? He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So send I you. Now people, let's flee carnal mindedness. Because it'll kill us. Do you see that principle, young people? See this principle? Can you with joy look at the things, whether they're in your life or you don't see any now and you need to go and talk to others, you need to seek God or you need to talk to authorities, whatever, or whether you see some now and they're pricking at you. Can you with joy look at these things that are hindering you and choking you and bothering you and joyfully, I'm going to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. This year, I'm going to get rid of it. In my life, I'm going to make this choice. It's a young man that I that was at a Bible school 4 years ago. And he, at the end of Bible school, maybe I mentioned this earlier, he said, I didn't realize the Christian life was this serious. And he took his smartphone and he smashed it. He took his car and he sold it and made a few $1,000 loss. And he took it and he started and he made some more decisions and he changed his wardrobe. And he, and I don't need to name them all off, you know, I'll just go back over the things I just did. And he started making these little decisions. I got to see him again. And he's walking on. He's being faithful. He's godly. The elders told me, oh, we can trust him. If we need something done, he'll be there to do it. We don't doubt that. He's faithful. Young people, you want to be that way. And I trust some of you are. Praise God. I'm not saying you're not, but let's go on. I'm still working on turning this thing. I'm not done either. I'm still seeking to loose it. Temptations come. Flesh comes. I'm not done yet. We're in this together. But let's run. Let's run. And let's flee. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this principle, Lord. I know to some people, those who are not living as we have talked about already Monday and Tuesday, who aren't living like that, this is a burden. And it's heavy and they don't like it. And you know, sometimes it's even hard for us. Sometimes even hard for the spiritual man. But Lord, you also know down in, we know it's a joy and we know it's a blessing. So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful principle of fleeing. Help us, God. Help us to flee the world. And it's lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as you said in 1 John. We didn't get to that verse. And you know, Lord, there are many, many more that we didn't even talk about. And Father, I pray, I feel like I missed some things and I didn't emphasize some things I wanted to. But it's time to move on. And I pray, Father, bless them. You take it by your Spirit and bless these dear, dear young people, Lord. Give them grace and strength to make decisions in their life with this principle. In Jesus' name.